And I'd push it half the way too, didn't I?
No. We just had to spend our life savings in the gas stations.
Well, I don't know what time it is, but we're going to go ahead and get started on it.
It is 10
to 11. 10 to 11. Okay, we'll start 10 minutes earlier today.
It's Canadian time.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Hey, Jim.
Well, that's all right. I mean, this is our club. It's our group together, so it's all right. We're gonna not stick with all the exact formalities. I kind of trash those. We got a format that would go along, but it's fine. We didn't have any meetings last month. We had the meeting down in Georgetown, and there wasn't really enough people there. So we don't have any meetings minutes from last month. But I'm going to let Dwayne, he's has some really good news to give us, I hope. And I'll let him cover the fly-in and the accountability of it.
Did y'all get my emails last night?
Mm-hmm. I need to go over last month's minutes, too?
No, you don't.
Yes.
You
yes.
Just cover what you want to on that end.
All right. Last month's minutes, I read, but there wasn't a quorum, so it really wasn't official. So we'll go with that. Started off. As 19th of September, our checking account had $369.95. 9th of October, deposited a donation from George Moncrief, $100. 13th of October, we paid the Ori electric bill, $28.86. So, that left on the 13th of October, balance in account, $441.09. And out of that, I paid the trophy place on the 16th of October, $39.31 for our plates on the prop project over here. That put us on the 17th of October, as our meeting was held, balance in account was $400.78. That last little addition was mainly because I picked that up on the way down there and added it in just before the meeting. Petty cash on the 19th of September, we started out with $4.74. And that meeting's kitty was $30. So that brought, on the 17th of October, cash on hand was $34.74. Brings us up to today's meeting minutes, October minutes. 17th of October, checking account, $401.78. Let me just check. For some reason, we gained a dollar. I don't know. 28th of October, we bought a ballast for our light in the kitchen. It was $18.34 at Lowe's. 2nd of November, soda at Milo came to $79.88. 2nd of November, went to Walmart, picked up toilet repair kit for the ladies' room, and a couple cans of beans for our fly-in was $23.33. 5th of November, the cash drawer I made up was $200 withdrawn from the bank. 6th of November, picked up a balance of soda at Milo was $33.31. 9th of November, new member paid his dues. I deposited that $20. 9th of November, fall fly-in deposit with the cash drawer of $200. Total was $1,293.04.
Wow.
And also, the 9th of November, I deposited the raffle donations. Thanks to Bill's quick thinking, it brought in $161. He won the raffle, from what I hear. 10th of November, we paid our Ori electric bill, which was $21.74. That left our balance on the 21st of November. Balance in the account is $1,499.22.
Never heard of such a thing before.
We've been close to that, but that's real good, yes. And it's taken us all year, usually, to get to that. But to just to do that in just a month or two, it was amazing. On petty cash, the 17th of October, we had cash on hand, $34.74. On the 30th of October, I bought supplies at Dollar General for cleaning the kitchen and the bathrooms and such. It was $13.50. 4th of November, I went to Blanton's in Lawrence and had to pick up a toilet connector. It's a small hose that goes to the bathroom toilet that busted in there. That was prior to the recent adventure in that. This was when we did the ladies' room. The 4th of November, no, I already said that. That was $3.02 for that toilet hose. The 7th of November, we bought ice down at Sugar Bear for our fly-in, came to $19.98. That left the balance on 21st of November, cash on hand, minus $1.76, because my wife pulled it out of her pocket and I wouldn't give it back to her. That's about it. We're looking pretty good. Right now, if we had another $62 or so, we'd have enough. If our insurance hadn't gone up, our bills stay about the same. Our taxes went down $2, which is kind of rare. And we would meet our debt and be able to pay our electric bill for the coming month. So it should be easy for us to get through with paying our dues, which are payable today. $20 a piece, please. Thank you.
Any corrections or additions? Anything anybody wants to make those? The second one? I mean, accepted? Second? Good. Okay.
They're easy going, folks.
I guess there's one thing that I was wanting to bring up, and you mentioned that. We've discussed this several times, and I'm going to turn that over to Dennis to talk about the Falcon insurance. I kind of break that issue.
Yeah, we got the bill. We got the bill for the renewal.
Gone down, right?
Yeah.
Has it?
Yeah.
I'm simply amazed.
Well, I think they got the idea that we're thinking about not redoing it. You'd see what it went down to. I hadn't looked at it for a while. Premium, $624. So it went down $100-something.
We've got money in the bank for that. That's good news.
Well, you know, we brought that up about whether we should or shouldn't continue doing that, since we kind of got... You mentioned that we kind of had maybe double coverage in a way on it.
Yep.
And that's a lot of money for a year.
The only thing that we're not covered on is the replacement cost of this building. And that's the only thing this is doing for us. It actually does more. But we're paying for things we don't need. Because the EAA picks up the rest of it. Mm-hmm. Well, they actually don't pick up the rest of it. Our chapter EAA dues that we pay annually picks up the rest of it. But anyhow, we need to decide whether we want to self-insure or let these people do it.
I know we've discussed this before, but the EAA insurance that we pay our national dues that liability insurance would cover somebody that came by on a day that we didn't have a scheduled meeting, and maybe they tripped on the doorstep or something.
That insurance is good for 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year. Specifically, that is written. That is written. I have read it.
Well, I had somebody ask me that, and I thought you'd said that.
It's a fact, but it's only liability.
Only liability, right.
Okay. And it does not include the airport. Well, none of this includes the airport. Okay. So if they trip off of the taxiway out there or something, then we have no coverage. It's not us.
The Falcon insurance does cover the runway.
No. Covers this building.
It only covers the leased area.
The leased area, which is an acre, maybe, or whatever it is.
So it's a duplicate insurance entirely, then.
Except for Falcon, it covers the replacement cost of the building. That part's not duplicate.
Right.
So what? Anybody have an idea what it would cost to replace the square footage here? I mean, the concrete pad is going to go away. So what you're talking now is going to be a metal structure over the top of it. What would that cost to replace?
I don't know, we got it insured for $15,000, and that's probably close to right.
Theoretically, if we were going to self-insure, we need to put $15,000 in escrow account.
Well,
so it's available.
Yeah. So in the event something happens, by law, you have to have it in an account.
That's normally the way. That's normally the way it's done, I think. But I ain't no lawyer or anything. But if we got to do that, that's not happening.
Yeah. Well, that's just where I was leading with that conversation.
Right.
Okay.
Highly unlikely to occur.
Yeah, it's not going to occur. I can tell you right now.
So you're saying by law, if you're going to self-insure, you've got to have that money in escrow somewhere.
Well, I think what we meant by self-insure was a little different than what you're thinking. What we were saying is, if there was a catastrophe, we all pitch in at that time, not in advance.
Put up another truck.
Yes. Okay. But then there's no guarantee that anybody couldn't walk away from that.
Right. Right.
So.
Didn't before.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you know, life is changing. The world is evolving.
Yes.
Yeah.
If something happened now.
Yeah.
Is anybody going to come? Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all getting older.
The other thing that I tried to do 2 years ago was go get insurance through another company. That's not possible. So it's Falcon or nothing, as far as I'm aware. Because it's on an airport. Nobody will touch it on an airport. You have to. It only an airport-oriented insurance company will have anything to do with it. Wow. They're the big boys.
Is that the one the EAA?
I think they have associate with. I think they have an association with them.
Well, that seems pretty cut and dry.
That leaves only two choices. Really. The requirement for the insurance is dropped, or we pay the insurance. That's the only two choices. Is that, am I right?
That's right.
Correct.
Yeah. How many members
would you do? The insurance? What do you mean? That's what our dues and everything goes for. And the fly-ins and the other events that we have.
Well, like last year, we were short on money, and I at the Christmas dinner I had to ask for extra money to be able to pay for it, because that's when it went up to $700. We just didn't have the cash last year to pay it. Now we got the cash in the bank this year to pay it.
Well,
cash over. So the decision is, if we were going to go ahead and keep the premium up, the money's there to do it. We wouldn't have to be taking it out of pocket.
o'clock with this thing. So the land that we, the lease we have here dictates that we have to have insurance on this building in case it's destroyed. Is that right? I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen any paperwork.
Yeah, as far as I know, it is.
So we think
they're ready.
From the Shaws, right?
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
What?
We lease it from the Shaws?
We lease the land.
The land, correct. But the building is insured to protect them.
The building is...
Because at the end of the lease, it becomes theirs anyway, correct?
Yeah.
The
building is insured, yeah, to replace the building. So at the end of the 15-year lease on the land, they have the building. I think that's right. Am I right?
Well, of course, to be renegotiated.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out. So it's protecting that asset for the end of the lease?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I guess the question is then, we'll throw it out. I guess put it to a vote, and we're going to go ahead and continue as we've been going along.
I can tell you why they lowered, if you want to know.
Why is that?
Because last year when I talked to this man, mm-hmm. I told him that we probably are never going to renew again because it has got excessively expensive. He must have made a comment somewhere in the fall because he has now raised the value of the building to $52,000. And the insurance went down by $100-some.
Oh, my God. You sure that's not a typhoon?
Look at it.
$52,000.
Is that a minimum? Oh, by the way, I'm going to make sure I correct something. Falcon provides no liability.
This is fire. This is
strictly the price, the replacement price of the building. I think I said that wrong before. I'll make sure I clarify that.
Hurricane.
Yeah, but they do not cover liability. They don't. That is handled through EAA. I
right.
Think wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a building.
Well, maybe. I don't know how the insurance works now with a named storm.
The deductible gets increased usually. Named storm.
House insurance is indifferent to this, but I don't think there's anything in there about named storms like it is in your house insurance, the way it is. They came out this past.
I don't know if there's any. Now, that's a good point. Is what's happening now with the insurance company is they're cutting out the wind damage, right, out of the policy. And I don't know. I didn't look at it that close.
And also, like, if you got flood damage from the named storm.
Flood damage is
flood
never,
coverage.
Never.
Flood damage.
Done.
Wind damage is not, but
my house at the beach that I had, I just sold recently. That's exactly what they did, was cut out the wind and made me go to that crazy system they got down there at the beach. My insurance down there went from $250 a year to $3,200 a year because of that, because they cut out the wind. But I don't see anything.
They may not even have anything happening on that.
We got $25,000 for viruses and hacking. So we're covered on that. Viruses and hacking.
Good, our computer in here will be covered.
Yes. Yeah, we'll be covered on that.
Everybody bring a computer.
Who's going to work on it?
Somebody better put up a satellite dish.
Yeah, we got a contractor.
He's your husband. I think I got that one on tape. I don't see. Well, there's $10,000 for windblown debris.
Yeah, looks like
windblown debris.
Yeah, we got coverage on it, Dan.
That'll cover our roof.
That's probably right. That's probably what they would do. Yeah, I think it's okay.
I think we ought to go with it.
Well,
I don't think we have any choice.
At that premium?
Yeah.
What's it?
$624.
Grab it. For
$52,000.
Grab it.
It was close to $800 last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, almost. Seven something.
Just about.
We've been blessed this year, I think. Probably like.
Yes.
Okay. Sounded to me like ours was unanimous. Did I hear it? Unanimous?
Yes.
I hear it and see it now.
Okay.
It's a unanimous vote. We're going to continue with it the way it is. We've got several things we need to cover here. I guess another thing that I wanted to bring up, and it was the Christmas dinner. And last year we had it at the Golden Corral. Did y'all want to do that again this year?
No.
I'd like to make a change, a suggestion.
Okay.
Bill and I would like to give the party at our home, if everyone would be willing to do that. What everybody would end up spending at Golden Corral would put into a kitty for foods and things like that. Be a little cozier, a little more Christmassy. The ladies can dress if they want to.
A lot tastier.
Bill got sick last year after eating at Golden Corral. Literally. He was very ill. And Shirley said she didn't do too good afterwards either. We just thought it might be a little more personal if we had it in our home.
It might be a little bit longer ride for some folks. So we could have it earlier.
We could do it like yesterday, about 4 in the afternoon until whenever.
That's on it.
Yeah.
See, that's the truth, though. That means somebody's got to spend a lot of effort.
Well, we could do like we did at your place.
And that's why we have a Christmas party somewhere out, so that nobody has to
leave
and walk in.
I enjoy doing it, and I know some chefs. I might even be able to get someone to cater it for us.
Well, I had thought about that,
and
I thought,
well, and then the main host, because of the meats, right? And we could do it either way. Have everyone bring us covered dish.
Hot like dinner. Sounds
right.
Good.
Or contribute, and we'll choose whether to have it catered or something that nature.
Right. How about if we had it catered somewhere? Eliminate the burden for of one, you know, one person. Tremendous amount of work.
It's no burden, because I think I've got enough people in here that are willing to put their 2 cents worth in when it comes to doing
it. You know what? When we have it over at the River House, whatever the time of year was, and we can make sure there was plenty of meat, you know, the things like ham and turkey, that sort of this, and Bahama Mamas, yes, and Bahama Mamas.
Bill and I've given parties over at the house, and it blends well. We've had up to 52 people there, and it's blended very well for the flow of people and things like that.
You know what? Not once can I ever remember being the one in the kitchen in the dishwater doing all the dishes.
No, I was.
Everybody was in there.
Yeah. Yes.
And, you know.
Well, how does...
About having John and Jane come out.
Well, I sure won't ask them to do it again. They just...
They just...
Nice trade thing.
No, I can barbecue every day, though.
No, Gene don't do... He don't do just barbecue. He does everything.
He's not.
I don't think she hears.
Scallops.
He's not a barbecue dude.
Finger foods.
He's not barbecue. Gene's a chef. He can do anything.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. No. You ought to see what he cooks. He's amazing.
Well, I'm sure once they get included, but this would just start.
If Gene found out that it was being planned, he probably would offer to do it. That's the way he is.
You know, whether we do an actual meal, or as I said, just finger foods as a get-together.
Well, we need to make a decision, because next meeting will be our Christmas party, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah, well, we don't actually officially have a Christmas or a December meeting.
Right, right.
It's really just the party, just the dinner.
We think we can handle this group, no problem.
That's it.
You say so.
If you're going to pay someone to corral,
you couldn't have a cater for that type. I mean, cater's fine. I'm not saying that, but it ain't about. It wouldn't be equal in money. There's no way you can have a cater for what you can eat at Golden Corral.
Jim and Rosie might have a problem. They got a long ride. Probably wouldn't see George.
Talking about George, some of you people know George Gillard used to come up here with me.
Yeah.
He passed away.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He got a hip transplant. It busted his thigh bone, put it in. Put him in the nursing home. Nursing home said, time for you to go home and get more money. Then I'm all put him in the hospital bed and went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, look, when I did the hip, I did a biopsy, and he's got cancer, and he ain't going to get better.
Oh,
wow. And his family had cancer, but it's beginning again. So anyhow, they put him onto the hospice. Anybody aware of what hospice does? I never knew.
You're incredible.
Yeah, but
they help you die.
They don't eat no more. They don't get even less water.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't?
Nope.
Hospice is to help you die as quickly as possible.
All he got was morphine. His wife fed him one day, and the girl said, you're not supposed to be feeding. Don't give him nothing but morphine.
Yeah. Same my father-in-law.
But
his diet was morphine.
The guy passed away. I acquired a whole bunch of collar. Yeah, radio control. I got all.
This is going to be the EAA 1167 RC Club.
Well, let's get focused back in.
I'm sorry, Bob.
No.
No, that's
hey, Jim.
That's okay, Jim, on that. A vote for it. Over at Sue and, what did you say your husband's name was? Bill's place.
Gastro something other.
Gastro? Astro? Bill. I want to show our hands for that's all in favor, or if you have any other suggestions in favor of going over to Bill, and then we'll Bill and Sue's, and then we'll work out as far as finger food, dishes.
I think only if everyone contributes, so it's not a tremendous burden on
But Bob, I just want to go eat. Yeah.
Hey, Bob, you and Peggy live right around the corner. Come on over. You live right around the corner. You can come over early.
No, are y'all guys going to be down? Are y'all going to be here? We're going to go?
I don't know. I don't know if we're vegan or not, but even whether we're here or not, I'd still say yes.
Okay, we can decide on that. More likely, we just all carry a dish over there then, and we'll make it a dish, finger food, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We leave it up to Sue. Fix it the way she wants.
I've got a vote for it. Sherry said she's bringing cheesy potatoes. Big casserole thing she does. Everybody loves them.
Oh, we can do that.
Unfortunately, there's never any leftovers for me to bring home.
Everyone has a dish then, and we'll supply the meats, yep, and the
bedrooms. Give us a date that would be best for y'all.
Give me a calendar.
Yes, exactly what I was pulling out.
And y'all got emails?
Oh, yeah.
So just, if you'll coordinate with him, if you want to, and he'll get with all the rest of us.
Mr. Webman.
Yeah, Mr. Webman. Any change, updates, that's what we need to do, not do. I do read my email occasionally.
All right. The 19th would be our meeting, third Saturday.
Yes. That sounds like a logical day unless somebody's got a problem.
Saturday before Christmas.
Why not?
That looks good.
That sounds good. The
19th?
The 19th?
19th.
Say at 4 p.m. That way, anyone that does have to travel any distance, it'll be early enough to leave, you know, by 6 or 7.
Are you gonna?
I think it'll be good.
Sue, are you going to let everybody know what they need to bring, or how do we going to work that?
Radio controlled.
We don't want
10. I want to let you two.
But you know something? Ask all the women that have had a single pop up, and you'll find. Let them bring what they want, and nobody bring. You've got. You went to the store, and you don't have too much of any one thing.
Yeah, we hadn't.
I don't know how it works. It just works.
I ain't got no bourbon, dude. I'm a tequila man.
I'll get tequila.
I just made a great big lot of Bahama Mamas, and everybody liked it. It wasn't too dark. It wasn't too this. It's,
there's my deal, man.
Okay.
If you want to go ahead, then I'll let you kind of cover that.
So then I wrote the recipe down, and I just put it out. Yeah.
As far as what we're going to do on the radio control.
Yeah, I got a pretty good idea of what he said on that.
Drink, though, and drink successfully or anything. I doubt that's it, Mr. Case. I'll take the keys at the door.
I don't know who evaluated, but
Russell.
Oh, Russell's living around Charlotte somewhere now.
Is he really?
Is he
really?
Yeah, he got
the best. Oh, I thought he said who evaluated it.
He moved over there somewhere, and I don't have his address, and I don't know if Irene had. Irene was up in New England somewhere. I think she's back, but we haven't seen her.
We ran into her cost that one, and he's kind of Russell's neighbor, or one of them. Yeah. He didn't know who he was.
So,
Russell
is there
to
put the band in the building? No. That's your house, Russell. A couple of times when we had a pounding over jumping.
That's what he has.
Yeah.
No, it's by the square footage. The insurance company will not, you can tell them that it's worth $15,000 or $5,000. They don't care. When you tell them how big it is, they have a minimum amount they're going to insure.
Right.
Yes, right. No matter what you say, they know better. I mean, you know, they know.
Even if there's diamonds in the door handles.
Even if there was nothing inside of this, it was just gutted out and there was nothing in, they're saying that for that size building, that is the minimum that they're going to value. Yeah, that's not the contents. It's just the building.
No. Well, everybody probably knows by now that Don has left us some very nice little airplanes. And I asked Wayne, because Wayne is the main one amongst us that's into RCs. And Bill, I can't think of his last name now, but he builds model airplanes above Ed's Hobby Shop down in Myrtle Beach. And he knows everybody in the field. And he's buying these things all the time, so he knows the value. He also can look at something and tell you how old, when these model engines were built pretty much and what the makes are. I mean, he's got a handle on it. So we were real fortunate enough that him and Wayne are close. He builds all of Wayne's airplanes, and I don't think I ever seen him charge anything for them. Most people take their stuff like this to Bill, and Bill markets it out across the country. Though he's got a flood, a lot of people are in hardship right now and they've given up on their hobbies, so he's overwhelmed, and he's got just had two packages like this. He evaluated everything, and they went through all the boxes, they checked the radios. Two of the radios are obsolete. Not that they're not usable, but they're not something that you would see them buying.
They don't have a C
of A. Right. They're not the new technology. One of them is up to date. All of them could be used on a field right now because the new radios automatically find a frequency, and it wouldn't be a problem using them. But one of them, there's a crystal missing out of it, and there's a control that's broke on it. So it's not valued as anything, and the other one's minimal. There are two engines that stand out. One's a size 20 Fox, I think he told me, which a lot of people say they're cantankerous and they don't start real easy, they don't run real well. Wayne said he had great luck with his and he liked his Fox engine. I didn't get a definite price on that, but I gathered it was worth maybe in the $50 neighborhood. There is another one that's a Weber. Weber is supposed to be a very dependable, good engine. It's brand new. It's in the box. All the paperwork is there. And when you sell something like that, that's what they're looking for, is original box, paperwork, some parts list that comes with them, I guess. That is valued at $100, even though it's used, because it's been bought and you're reselling it. These planes here are, I believe he's called them ARF, ready-to-fly aircraft. Most likely, most of those little airplanes are made in China. You might know something about it. He must have ordered them ready, already built, or he bought them.
He built them from scratch.
The yellow one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everything.
Everything. He built everything from scratch.
All right. Well.
I've seen him scouring around for weed-eater engines.
Right, right. But these aren't weed-eater. These are all regular engines.
Yeah.
Although some of them are quite old. But they're all probably in good shape. Those engines will run no matter how old they are.
Okay.
Anyway, he evaluated the whole lot. Everything would probably go on Craigslist or eBay. You could probably sell it for $500. If you sold every piece separately, like one at a time, putting it out on Craigslist, then you could probably develop about $1,000 out of them. And he would help me pricing them, and I could take pictures and put them. I have a Craigslist account, and that wouldn't be a problem. I can put, I think, 6 pictures for each item out there. My other thought was selling them in the bulk. I asked him about that, and like I say, he said $500. And the way I do that is I put the nicest two planes, that red one over there and this yellow and white one, in front. I put all the building material out where you could see it, and then I put the trainers and the others in the background where they could see pretty much what they were getting with radio, so you could see them in the picture. And then I'd take a few different angles of pictures where you could see them fairly well. That's one way to get it all sold at once. Other than that, I would take each item, the building materials, I'd probably sell in one lot. And then the radios and stuff that would contain parts, put them in one lot. People would, usually if you put something that stands out, they really want, and that will sell the others. Like the building material, maybe somebody wouldn't jump right on that, but if they saw a radio along with it, they might bid on it and you'd get some money out of it. But
we don't want any money out of it.
Right. Well, I mean the chapter. I'm talking about the chapter. There is an electric engine in there that's a small electric engine. I would like to have that for a boat project I got. There are some small servos and stuff that are not for the gas engines. It's all separate. He said that he found enough where a person could build a car. It's not really for an airplane. Unless you build a small glider, it could be used for. It's just an old can motor. They're not very high priced anyway. But I thought I might be interested in that for a project I've got. And anyway, that's about it. I wasn't out here when Bill came, because I was halfway to Myrtle Beach when I got the word that Bill was actually coming straight out here. And but that's pretty much way it looks. If that sounds okay to everybody, way you want to do it.
Let me, my understanding was that you were going to donate these for to put in the building. Is that what you wanted to do? Or what was your intent? Kind of what I gathered from it, if you wanted them to to be here.
That was another thing. Wayne was saying it would be a shame to sell all these planes that if, especially now knowing that Don made those little planes, and they must look good enough that a man that builds them thought they were made by a company somewhere. Wayne said we ought to hang them up here. We don't have any planes hanging in here. And to have something from Don, that would be kind of special. So if you didn't, if you have no interest in whether it's money put in the bank or it's held for value of our friendship with Don, we all thought it would be much nicer just to retain the planes and hang them up. I thought it'd be better that we have them hanging here in memory of Don than to have somebody else give us a few dollars for them. The money will be gone in no time. Electric bills and insurance, and it's gone out the window. But
I
could stay there for 6-7 years. Who knows? We might be here for 20 years.
Is that flying boat still here?
Yeah.
Is she coming?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Is there any...
Maybe we need somebody
to come out once in a while. As far as we want to see if they would be interested in any of this. I'm not talking about hanging. The hanging is, I think, a great idea. But you've got a lot of other little parks there.
Right.
How about this flying club, this group that comes and flies up here?
Well, that's why we contacted Bill, because he's part of that group.
Okay.
So that word is getting around.
So, who would be in favor of taking all these, the prettiest ones there, and hanging them in memory of Don and for show?
Yes.
Yeah. How many are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about that one, and maybe the big one right there.
And that's silver.
Yeah, definitely the red and yellow one.
The trainer. He used to just put that. I got a picture of the trainer out on the lawn. It's down there. When I come back, I'll bring it back. I forgot my flower. But he used to put elastic bands on those, the big one, and that was his trainer. And then, unfortunately, the gray fuselage here, it has some vertical damage from the rod.
You see, if you hung it up, you would never even see it, really.
Yeah, I guarantee that that vertical stab there will not suffer any damage hanging on the...
No.
Say
no, I thought, the guys want to go up one day and just mess around and fly with them, but...
Yeah. Our homepage makes a statement that we love all things flying. Why not make that statement?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So then, as unanimous, we're going to hang them from the ceiling.
Yes. All right, what about the rest of the parts?
The rest of the parts...
I'd be interested in some of the fossil wood.
I make a suggestion that anything we sell at regular price to avoid conflict of interest with anybody. In other words, if it costs $10 downtown, then you give the chapter $10. Whatever the regular normal price would be.
Not
that point. I wasn't even talking about that balsa wood, nothing.
It's right, it's going to the chapter anyhow. What the hell?
Yeah, balsa is kind of expensive.
Yeah, but cut in strips like that, I'm not too sure about it that way. I was going to leave it at home, and I said, you got to bring that, too. So.
I think we say kudos to them for bringing all
that. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, we want to thank you all guys for thinking of us.
Amazing.
A big effort on their part.
You know something? We talked about it. We thought about it, putting it on eBay, putting it on Craigslist, stuff like that. And we looked at each other and said, huh? Like, Don wasn't even here? Yeah. And you just, and then what do you do with it?
That's right.
Yeah, the worst part was those roads in Upper Michigan.
Yeah.
Somebody here from Michigan.
So we just, and, it was something we wanted to do on behalf of Don. And, this place was everything to him.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great idea. Anyhow, what's next? Did he adjourn the meeting?
Can I ask, you're going to want to say that party? Can you ask everybody to RSVP by the first weekend so that we know how much meat and all and beverage to have there?
To Bill's address?
Yeah.
The Nutty Yacht.
The what?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
the
media just hard to,
you know. We had 16 parts. Got it. Thank you.
Where
are
you at?
I think we're taking a pause.
Another thing I wanted to talk about was the Gone West. And,
the rudder.
Yeah, you had mentioned something about that, about what we were going to do with the rudder.
Right. Jim, of course, donated the rudder. It's off from his air coop. Bill and I was talking, I think, and Wayne also got in on it, about polishing it up. Actually, I was the instigator on that because I love air coops that are polished. They're pretty.
Yeah.
Those small little plaques, like I put on Don's prop, that I put the club by Don, and that was a private joke between Don and all of us that was working around it, was, gee, this thing looks more like a club than a prop, Don. And he'd chuckle and say, it's going to do good or something like that. And so I put it on there like newcomers to it will look at it and say, oh, this club was by Don. Don built it. But yet, those of us that are in the chapter for some years, and I'm a newcomer, but I look at it like it was our little private joke. And it looks like a good prop now. I mean, I'd be proud to have it on an airboat or anything, and small little aircraft, who knows, it might even get off the ground. It was a great test prop. It was a good thing he built. And I'm so glad that we're able to save it, because it could have been just lost. But for some reason, we kept it here in good shape, and it was meant for something. But anyway, getting away from that, that little dog tag is what I think they call it. I don't know why they call it that. It comes like that, and you can't get anything specially made. Apparently, if 100 million people don't want it, you can't get it now on award plaques and such. I wanted to put a whole row of those to people that have gone west. Your friend George that came down here, was he a member?
Yeah.
Well, anybody, see, I don't know the early members that might have passed on, but I think we should have something in their memory. Who knows? Maybe their son stops by and sees their name. It would mean something to them. Just to have some membership of it. And it may not be done in time for a Christmas party. It might be something that happens the first of the year, but that's our plans to finish that project. I want it mounted outside. That's still up for debate. But I think it would stand the weather pretty good outside. It's been outside for, what, 40 years now? More than that, probably. And it's stood the weather just fine. So if we put a little polish on it now and then.
You know, that's a great idea, putting that out there and putting all the names on it. But what I'd like to do is I'd like for us to keep our names off of it just as long as we can.
Exactly.
So don't be in too big a rush. I don't care how pretty it is. They're getting your name put on. The other thing, which was this month, is a very special month, and that was the dedication of the prop in Don's memory. And I'd like for everybody to take a look at that. I'm sure everybody already has, but and we'll bring that up again at dinner. But it's very beautiful. And those guys, Bill and Dwayne, did a great job on it. They put a lot of time in it.
It's a masterful job.
The man at the trophy place used this right, too, because his first price was one thing. When I brought it to him, it was just a tad cheaper. And then when I paid for him, he said, I hate to take your money at all. It came down another $10, so. And then he did another thing. He usually scribes it, and it's more or less scratched into the metal, etched. And if you're standing off to one side, you can't even see it. And I said, wouldn't it be nice if you could have it inlaid with black ink? He said, can't do that. Machine don't know how. So yeah, another thing. Everything has to be done by machine and mass produced. I said, well, if there's any way you can do it to make it printed on there, I'd appreciate it because it's going to be hanging on the wall and I'd like it easily seen. And I came and picked it up and it was exactly what I wanted. Something I had pointed out in his shop, and it was what I wanted it to be real brass plaque. He kept trying to talk me into a rubberized plastic that they produce now. And you put it up on the wall, you can't tell it's not brass. But I guess I grew up with an old man who was Coast Guardman, and things had to be real around our airport. I wanted a brass plaque. I just felt like that's what it was. So I like how it turned out, and I'm glad you all are impressed.
All right, very impressed, yeah.
Well, I don't have anything else. It's open to the floor. Anybody wants to bring anything up?
I got some stuff. Gene Baker and John Matthews donated all of that meat. They cooked the meat. They donated all the rice. It was, I would say, at least $300, maybe more. Okay? And so I think that a letter from our president, letter of appreciation, might be in order. Because it was outstanding as far as I was concerned, and they didn't ask a penny from us. Okay.
So, Gene and John.
Yep, Gene Baker and John Matthews, they pulled their money together and did it. Yeah. And not to mention the fact that they, you know what it's like cooking it. It's a laborious process, you know, and they did all of it.
24 hours of labor is what it is.
Yeah. And anyhow. I think our chapter president might order to write them a letter of appreciation. Because we wouldn't have a large chunk of that change that's in the bank right now if it wasn't for them. Okay. I mean, everybody here donated a whole bunch of stuff, though. I mean, everybody here brought things in and everything, and that's another reason why there's so much is. Very little was actually taken out of the chapter funds for this fly-in. It's different than we've ever done before, and it left a lot of money in there. So, I think it worked out really good. So, I'm happy with it. I need to ask if we're going to have a January meeting. Well, because. I was thinking, I don't know, but I was thinking that we took a 2-month winter break, but didn't traditionally we at the end of this January or November meeting, didn't we used to always purge the pipes and everything until the cold part of the winter is over?
It's pretty. I don't remember because I'm getting old now. I don't remember stuff, but I know. In January, February, when it's cold, the water has to be shut off. Mm-hmm. And when it's cold, everybody wants to use the bathroom, you can't, you know.
Wouldn't January be in Georgetown, though?
January would be in Georgetown. February would be here.
So we could go ahead and prepare, you know, the pipes and
everything anyway. Well, let's stop there and put that subject on hold for a second. Let's go to subject two. Is there going to be a Georgetown anymore? We went. It was a test. Has this test passed?
I think I'm against it myself.
I'll second that.
Number one, I don't want to drive that far.
I'll second it. And I'll tell you why.
Their members are here right now.
They never hear.
How many members did we get by going there?
Yeah, but what did John and Gene do for us there in our fly-in?
I know it, but we fly-in before and we always met.
And they'll do that same thing if we don't have a meeting down there. They don't even come to the meetings when we're down there.
They don't come to the meetings down there. They don't come to the meetings here.
That's a good point, but I had to say it.
But the other side of that coin is they'll come here to this thing, whether they're a member or not, or we meet down there or not. I mean, it's not about that.
They're not really contributing to the cup chapter.
See, what I was hoping out of that deal is that we would get a CFI that would be active. I asked that CFI to come up, and he wouldn't come. He had guaranteed 2 or 3 hours paid if he'd come up. He wouldn't come.
Nobody
down there wants to come up there, here, and nobody here wants to go down there.
And personally, I like the way we served before. My wife felt useless over here the other day. I don't know about Shirley. She used to work. I got the women all to enjoy it, and they got put. I don't feel that would run. It's not. You weren't here. We're from the old folks, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When we used to undo all the cooking and everything like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was nice. But I wouldn't have a member say, look, he gives us this for nothing. Mm-hmm. I'd rather pay for it. And I'm not knocking the guy. Mm-hmm. But I like it the way it used to be.
Mm-hmm. We used to remember that 1 year we came up to some old variety shredding room.
Many times,
y'all would rather do it that way?
I personally thought our barbecue was better too. Shirley, what do you think?
I like both kinds of barbecue.
I like them both too.
I like Brussels. I just like Brussels.
And I talked to many people out there that said
I'm not a barbecue enthusiast.
A lot of people thought it was too spicy. I don't like a lot of spice.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of personal opinion. You know?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Clay, what did you think?
I like it when we do it in-house, but we can't beat what we did. I mean, we came out really good. This year, we would have never made it. We'd had to dig deep into our pockets if it hadn't been for his help. He supplied an entire pig, and the coleslaw, and the chicken bug. Perlo.
Isn't that using someone?
Well, we've had fly-ins before.
You know where I'm coming from?
I understand what you're saying, but I don't really get it because to me the barbecue wasn't the best I've ever had, but it was second best. the best is in an airport up in North Carolina. Okay.
But it's America. Number one, I am not going to drive down to Georgetown first.
Yeah.
I did a couple times.
Yeah.
And when I get there, where are their members? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, really, what we've got three different subjects going now. But really, what I was talking about was the meetings at Georgetown.
Right.
To me, and I'm in left field, and I'll be the first to tell you, but I don't think they're working.
Let's eliminate them.
Okay. Because we're talking about scheduling next year, and. This is the most members we've had here in a meeting in a long while, so I think it's an excellent time to bring this up. Although, there's another subject I'll bring up in a minute. We don't have a quorum today.
We don't.
No, sir.
Not if you include Georgetown.
There is our bylaws. If you read our bylaws...
Except for a quorum now.
Same as always was. 50%. There's 23 members.
So we got all those in Georgetown.
The people in Georgetown that's causing that problem. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Is that because we have members, we have 4 or 5 members down in Georgetown that are that don't show up. That creates a problem. We don't have, even when all the local members here show up, we don't have a quorum. Because
we're not going to have a chapter here directly if we don't have any meeting.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. That's why I'm bringing this up. We got to make some changes either to the bylaws. Or something, or we got to change this Georgetown thing where nobody's showing up. This is a complicated issue that I'm bringing up.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I was hoping we'd be able to go to Georgetown on the hottest days of the summer and in the coldest days of the winter, where people could comfortably have a meeting.
Yeah.
But it isn't working out, so I guess you're right. Maybe we should just eliminate it.
I mean, I don't know. They never come up here, and most of the people here don't go down there.
Right.
So.
I've been a member of the chapter for quite a while.
Yeah.
Back in the days when we were at the school, I don't ever remember a real honest to God quorum.
You pay, yeah, well, see, back in those days it wasn't an issue, though, because the bylaws are here. We got them wrote down, and it does say 50%. But back in those days it wasn't an issue, because 50% of 8 or 10 people or 12 people, if you had a handful of people show up, it's enough. Matter of fact, a year ago, we didn't really have to count. I didn't have to go out here and count like I just did, okay? Because we always had enough people show up. Either we got to change our bylaws, or we got to change this Georgetown thing.
Well, to be a member, actually, you have to be a member.
There's two things. There's two kinds of members. Members.
There's,
okay, but there's two kinds of members. There's just member, and then there's voting member. Okay? To be a voting member, we need 50% of voting members in order to have a quorum. And that's a problem, because wives are not voting members. Okay? Unless that wife paid their $20. It's in the bylaws. Okay?
How does that work?
Why can't we leave off the husband and let the wife vote?
Well, in certain circumstances, you could do that. For instance, in Bill's case, that would be... Just kidding, Bill. I'm just kidding. Got to pick on you there.
Do they both have to be members? Both have to be members of the national.
Yes, yes, yes. And you're not going to believe this. Hold on. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to read it. Okay? You can be a member. Any person can be a member. Any person who is of good moral character.
Well,
there's 70% of our chapter, right? Okay? And who is at the time of application and at all times thereafter a member in good standing of the EAA Association National. Yeah? Yes. I mean, I'm just saying, we got to have, it is required of us to go by some bylaws, either these or some other ones we write. Okay? There ain't nothing that says we can't change this to where we can make the quorum be 5%. Any number, pull a hat, okay? We can change the bylaws. We have to have a quorum. We ain't got it today.
What's going to happen to the Georgetown meeting when they stop going for the meeting?
They have to come here for the meeting, I guess. Or hey, how about a third option? How about we have special meetings down there? Not the monthly meetings that we have here, but we have events.
Like you're flying.
Well, no, I ain't talking about an annual thing. I'm talking about a monthly thing.
No,
we have a gang of dudes go down there and harass Bill at the airport or something, you know, one month, and do something different another month, or, you know what I'm saying, something. We go down there and go flying or something.
You and John support him.
Yeah, go help him one month. Go do something different. Help the FBO one month. Or what I'm saying is that right now we have one meeting a month here. What about we have another one? Not really a meeting, but like a outing or something. Maybe we keep those members then. Maybe we even get more members. You know what? You know why you don't have members come here? You don't do nothing. Ain't nobody here flies. There ain't nobody builds. I mean, pretty much. We don't do anything. People come to one meeting and they never come back. So we need to do more than that. Why don't we take this opportunity and do some more than that? Yeah, I understand. And that's really the only thing that's been going on for a long while is that.
And experimental lawnmowers, I see.
Bill's president on that.
Have you got it off the ground yet?
And I'm not griping. I'm just saying, we know we got issues, and we need to do something. Okay? We need to have more than, you know, this is just administrative meeting we have. We need to do more now.
Well, I've mentioned it a long time ago, but in fact, I think there was a picture on the bulletin board of it. The little 86 metal plane that I built?
Yeah.
I was offered $500 for that. I built it for some woman in Texas for her grandson for what it cost. It cost like $30. Mm-hmm. I drove all the way from Texas to get it.
Yeah.
I weighed stolen. Anyhow, what I'm getting at is we can get together and build those things and sell them from chapters. Right now, I know the economy's bad. You're going to get $500. But I have two guys. I'll give you $500 for it right now. I have it up here.
Yeah.
But why?
See, that would be an excellent idea for, like, you know, for one of the monthly events or something or whatever.
So, you know,
I'm just saying we got to do something other than hold a meeting where, you know, three or four guys get up here and records it and we read the minutes and.
Flying that, socially gathered.
Yeah, we need more than that. Hell, even if we just come out here and bring the booze and sit around and hangar talk or something. I mean, we need more than an administrative meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, and that was a good thing that they tried too.
But nobody else would help cook. Nobody else would pick up. And
exactly.
He just got tired of cooking every time. Mm-hmm. And when he got the food cooked, then three quarters everybody went out the door. So he was stuck there with all that food.
Yeah.
I mean,
everybody didn't know ahead of time that was going
to
happen.
No, we. Well, if we come to the meetings, we knew the next meeting there was going to be food and what kind it was going to be. That was the problem. We don't come to every meeting. And I understand there's a lot of stuff. We have to go to the doctor. We have people get married. We have all kinds of things in our life, money issues sometimes. Who knows? But that's why, I mean, he stopped doing it because it just didn't seem to make sense. There'd be three of us eating. Larry and I and him, and Bill when he could.
And we have a geographical problem. We're
yes.
Not near anything.
Oh, we're spread
yeah.
all over.
Yeah, this place is a long ways from anywhere.
I mean, it's beautiful. Love being here. We're glad to live here. But geographically, for the other people,
it's a long ways.
It's a good haul.
The cost of fuel nowadays is...
If they really want to belong, that shouldn't be a big problem. I have joined Woodturner's organization, which is in Leland. You know where that is? Up by Wilmington. And that's another hour drive for me. People come from Myrtle Beach to go to that meeting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we got Woodturner's coming from way north of there.
But do they come up there for administration meeting? Do they actually go up there and turn some wood or something?
Well, that's one of the things that we have. We have every third month that they have an expert wood turner come in from their world famous wood turner.
Yeah.
And then the last meeting we had, one of our members gave a demonstration on how to make pepper mills. And we have we rent a place from the American Legion, and we have paid $50 a Saturday when we have the first time. And our organization has, you won't believe it, it's a huge lead. They have a trailer for it, and it's on wheels. The lead is on wheels. They bring it in the building, jack the wheels up so it's steady. And they have a big television set that belongs to the Legion, but they hook up to it, and when this guy is turning something. They got two different cameras shining on it, so you can, if you can't see the thing here, you just look up the television set.
Yeah.
Really nice. But that's the thing. There's always something going on.
Right, and that's what we have missing.
That's what we got to get something going on.
Right.
Here. But as I said, like, if we can get a couple guys we're interested in building, I have the plans for that 18-6 yet. Some of the guys might even be able to make it. If you get, I bought the crooked axle. Kids could pay.
Well, we said we were going to have the Georgetown meeting for 12 months, I think, is what we said.
Yeah.
And I was going to try to see if I could find out. Did anybody know when that 12 months is up?
We start in spring.
Okay. So I guess we ought to continue on.
And then bring this same subject up
down there. Down there, absolutely.
Bring the subject up, because we've got to get some of those members to the meeting to let them know the issues that we're facing.
Yeah. Right.
And it's not due to the lack of interest, it's due to the fact that this is how the thing is written.
Right.
And the numbers are growing, in our, but they're not participating, so we can't vote on anything.
Yeah, it's creating an issue. And anyhow.
Well, geographically, this is fine for people that live from the center of Myrtle Beach up, and Georgetown for people like Sue and these guys. So there's no, you know, we're, there's no middle ground.
Yeah, the middle ground would be Myrtle Beach. But then you know, Lord have mercy, trying to fly out of there or do something. I mean, you know. Of course, now our meetings don't have nothing to do with flying. At least it ain't really.
Yeah. So we went down to Conway when they called it. And that was more central than this.
Yeah. What's that?
Because that and this end.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, even Conway would be even Conway would be more central.
When I was in Gary's chair there for a couple of years, I tried to get a speaker to come in every now and again after the Met Department and so on. But he said we don't have enough people for these people to spend their time to go and do that. So excuse me, we had Don Reddick give seminars on all sorts of aircraft building.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of guys hung around, but that's about all.
Yeah.
And it's a tough situation.
Yeah. Really. Yeah.
Well, we worked on that plane all day after the meetings.
Yeah,
I mean, on Saturdays. I came in
every
Saturday month there for a while and worked on that plane there. And it's a slow process when you're working on something like that.
Yeah, it is.
It's a long, slow process, and people kind of get burnt out because you work all day and you maybe put five little pieces on, like the gussets. I worked two or three Saturdays on little matchbox gussets on that thing. And
but then you've got two. You've got anyone that does have an aircraft or is in the process of building an aircraft, they're not all here. They are in various places, you know, mm-hmm. such as ours. It's at our house. That's where it's built, you know.
Yes.
So to be able to find time and go and work on another one and complete yours also, time's not available.
Well, see, you couldn't work on that unless the owner was there. Because you may be doing something he doesn't like.
So, back on target. January at Georgetown.
January.
February back here.
January, Georgetown.
Right.
And earmarks and time for this very discussion.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But I want to make sure, because I got to update the website. It's New Year. And
well, if we're going to bring up the Christmas party, and it's going to be on the website, I bet you more people show up at that, and this could be brought up at the Christmas party.
Yes. We'd have a quorum.
Yes.
There's an old saying, give them food and they'll come, you know.
This is true. Good food.
It might be a good time to lay the groundwork for the January meeting. Just lay the groundwork, simple statement, whatever.
How about we make a vote right then that we change it to 25% would be a good enough quorum to make issues.
You got to be careful now, though.
What?
We're a corporation in the state of South Carolina. If it doesn't look like we're a legitimate corporation anymore, then we lose our status as a nonprofit. So what I'm saying is, this is not just something that was drew up. This was drew up for the state of South Carolina, so that we can be a nonprofit organization.
Oh.
I don't know the legalities of what.
We might not be able to change it then.
I don't know what the. I'm sure we can change it, but I don't know what the number could be. I don't know.
Right.
We need to ask somebody. We need to ask somebody that question.
Ask EAA.
Yeah, EAA would be a good person. That's right. I agree.
You think you could find that answer out
when it
comes to the Christmas party?
Oh, I'll find it out someday.
We could actually make a decision.
Yeah.
And if.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can find it out. But Christmas party is a Christmas party and not a meeting, right?
Well, we often try to have a little bit of a meeting there. We usually read the minutes. And I couldn't see. This is something that's kind of serious. And if we need a quorum, it may be our only chance.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that we're in Pauley's, we may get a lot more of those Georgetown people there.
Mm-hmm.
so that they'll be aware of the situation.
Okay,
I can do that.
So how many actual members do we have that are national EAA members and voting members?
Well, let me tell you
this. You said 25. It doesn't seem possible.
No, I didn't. I said 23.
23?
We have 23. Okay, we have 43 members, but we have 23 voting members. There's the list. I just updated it today. So you got to understand, we have several lifetime members. They count until they die.
Right.
They count. They don't come anymore.
Hey, Russell Edwards, yeah, he's a lifetime member.
I know, but
how do you determine who is an active member?
No, it's not about active member. It's about a voting member. There's no thing called an active member.
No,
there's no such thing as an active member. That's not in the bylaws. There's either member or voting member. Okay, member, a regular member is a person like your wife or husband, as the case may be. Okay, but a voting member is the person that pays the money and is a member of the national chapter. So, we got 23 of them right now. Okay, a lot of which never show up, almost never to never.
Do you have to list them all by their EAA number?
Yeah, I got a list of the EAA numbers. Now, I do admit that we don't have EAA numbers for some of the people in Georgetown because they said they didn't have them that day and they'd get back to me, but they never have.
So the only way we can find out if some of these lifetime members are still members is if we have to check with EAA and find out if they...
You can't do that.
It causes a problem.
That's right. EAA will not even consider doing that. They won't give me email addresses for members or chapter presidents or nothing.
They may not be members anymore simply because they haven't renewed.
Might not, and I've got no way of checking it. Not that I know of.
I never would have guessed it would add up that many.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. Your 23 is right. I never would have guessed it.
Well, but see, you got to look. You got to see why. Look how many lifetimes. We got two lifetimes and several different ones here that just almost never show up. Okay, then you got the Georgetown. There's like four or five of Georgetown. They never show up.
And I worry about making too big of a stink about it because what this is all about is anybody should be able to come here and join in with us.
Oh, absolutely.
Anybody who needs help on their aircraft should be able to find help through the EAA, and we are their connection.
Absolutely.
So I wish we could have the quorum lower. If there's any way we can do that, that would solve our problem, and it wouldn't close the door on some people
who would like to
donate $20, and they might never show up to a meeting, but they feel like they're helping the chapter.
Yeah, but you understand, though, if you make it too low, then you're going to have basically the president, the vice president, the officers, basically. You're going to have a little clique that's making all the decisions. And... you know, that ain't right either.
That's true, but all you have to do is show up and make that different.
I do show up.
Exactly.
So, you mean them? If them guys don't show up...
I'm sorry, anybody would have a beef with it. All they have to do is show up at a meeting and they become the quorum. And they can make decisions.
Okay.
But the only way people are going to come to the point is talking about...
have some activities.
Yes.
See, if we can get, if we could get, in my opinion, and I don't know no more than nobody else, but in my opinion, if we could get about 20 to 30 people showing up at these meetings, we can go to aircraft manufacturers like Highlander, Just Aircraft, and we can say, we have 20, 25 people meeting at this date a month from now, and we'd like you to fly your plane over here and maybe get some demo rides and tell us how come we should buy your plane. And we could do that to Sonex, and we could do that to Zenith, and we could do that, and everybody would get some rides out of it every month or two, and we'd have an event. We'd have some stuff happening. But when we have five members, none of us can go to some manufacturer and say, there's going to be five people showing up, will you fly, 300 miles over here and use all your gas and time and effort. I mean, but it's not just about airplanes either. I mean, we could. Dynon's real good about coming out. They'll give demos and things. Mm-hmm. The FAA will come down here to see us, which we may or may not want to see. But hey, they might have something we want. You want to hear?
So we could do that like Rotex does their motors on it. We could take a motor apart and put it back together. And crack it.
Anyhow, there's lots of people that will come. But we got to ask. We got to have the members, and we have to ask.
Anything else that you want to cover?
No, I think I've made enough trouble.
You think you've made enough trouble?
All right. Well, no, I got one more thing, because Jim brought it up.
Well,
huh?
Well,
yeah, probably. But I got one more thing. John and Gene have the intention of doing the same thing next year for the fly-ins. If we do not want them to do that, we need to tell them now. Because they have put off their own fly-in to join up with us. And if we do not, I mean, that's a choice that the chapter needs to make. If the chapter don't want them, then we need to tell them.
We would have had a much smaller turnout because a lot of those planes I know definitely came because of the John.
I have nothing against them. I just
no, it's not about against them. I wasn't implying that. I didn't mean to imply that. The reason why he insisted on it being that way is because he insisted on everybody eating as much as they want, taking as much as they want, and going back as many times as they want. Well, we've never had it that way before. We never had enough food to feed one round of people in our fly-ins. Not since I've been here. Okay? And I don't mean that badly. I'm just being honest. We never did have an excess amount. This time, I took so much food that I thought I was going to bust. I didn't come back again for seconds, but I took my seconds and thirds the first time. Okay? Everybody I seen did. Everybody just, I mean, it was, you had to hold the plate with two hands, you know.
We had lots of barbecue. And
yeah.
Chicken,
yes.
And slaw.
Yeah. And potato salad.
It wasn't any different than before other than that.
What do you mean?
I mean, everybody brought something. What was the difference?
Why? Well, the difference was, for instance, that my wife cooked 30 pounds of potato salad.
Well, Jim's wife
30 pounds.
20 pounds for
you. Yeah. No, what I'm saying is that I didn't do that last year. I mean, I'm just saying there was more food. I'm not saying I'm bad here.
Bill.
I'm just giving everybody else chances. I'm just trying to. The whole point about all this is survival of this chapter and
yes,
grassroots flying.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that, but if we don't want them to do that barbecue, we need to tell them.
I want to do it.
Yeah, I want the participation. I enjoy having them come in. New blood. We might get a new member here and there. We got one during the fly-in.
Oh, we did, by the way. I don't know if anybody knows. We did get it. We did get, I forgot to mention that, but we did get a new member during the fly-in.
You have thought it was only Bill. I'm sorry.
Stand up.
The president pointed me out and gave me an opportunity to speak. But the whole point is we have to have new blood. And we need youth. Just like a church. If you don't get youth, if you don't have something to offer to youth, if you don't get them involved, you're going to die. Now, we're in economic hard times. We're all struggling in one shape or another. I mean, bottom line's bottom line. When you're at the bottom of the well, that's where you are. But we still love things flying. My question is, how are we going to promote this chapter in a way to the public where people want to get interested? Look at Coots on Scoots. Right now they're collecting stuff for retired people and that can't afford anything, and they're contributing to the Salvation Army. These are guys that ride old-timers that ride motorcycles. We could do exactly the same thing and promote it in the name of EAA 1167. There's little things that we could do. And here's a card. I don't know if did you meet Doug Carter?
I don't remember.
Chief engineer for Fox News. He owns an airplane, flies, was here, loved it, wants to put us in the news the next time we do it. We have that kind of opportunity to tap into. If we call Doug and say, hey, look, we're holding a fundraiser, we're going to do this, we're trying to do that, and get us out there in the public eye. If we don't advertise, if we don't get involved publicly with somebody, we're going to be doing this very same thing that we're doing right now forever until it folds.
Okay, well, now let me have an input on what you're saying, though. Because once we get that advertising and the guys, you know, the people see it and they come out, they're not going to come but one time to one of these meetings.
Oh, absolutely.
That's it.
But that's what I'm saying. We have to have something that draws the people in to
the event.
Love aviation. If they're going to love aviation, then we have to be active in aviation.
Yeah.
In the public.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and yeah,
the only way you're going to do that is be getting name out there.
Yeah.
Most time when people come and want to join a club like this, if they're not already flying, there's the possibility of flying.
Yep.
And it may be because they may not have the funds we're doing. They're hoping that somebody there in that chapter can give them lessons, which we don't have. We don't have no plane that we can give anybody lessons in. We don't have no...
See, that's what I thought Georgetown was bringing to the...
Yeah.
To the dinner table.
See, we're lacking three basic elements of a club that we need. We need the planes to fly, we need the instructor, and we need somebody who can give the exams, certified flight exams.
Well, we have the person that can give the exams.
Riley Carroll.
No, the exams. We have somebody that can give the exams. Yeah. That's it? Mike Marlowe. Okay, so that's no problem. He'll come to wherever you want to come to.
So that's,
but we have a CFI, but he won't come away from Georgetown, I guess. So.
See, that's the basic things here. Like Corey.
We even have a Young Eagles program.
What were you looking for as a young person? What were you looking for with this club when you came?
Just to be a part of aviation. Just to be around a bunch of guys that have flown their whole life.
Mm-hmm. Have you flown any since you've been in the club?
John Matthews. He took me up for my birthday, and I'll remember that for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get my pilot's license in the next year, so.
See, that's what we're all looking for. And that's something we don't have.
I think Bob Taylor could still like that. He cannot fly as pilot in command because he's a truck vehicle, but he can still instruct. But we got to have the aircraft.
Well, there's all kinds of airplanes down in Georgetown.
Exactly.
There's three of them for rent that I know of.
Yourself in the foot on Georgetown.
Well, nobody's saying shoot yourself. I mean, if we vote not to have meetings down there, don't mean that Georgetown's going to go off the face of the earth.
Your idea of going down and helping John out sometimes and promote him and that, if you don't get involved with these people, they're not going to arbitrarily say, hey, come on down and we'll take you flying.
No.
That's right.
Yeah, well, we're already friends with John right now.
You still got to put something back. Can't take
it. Yeah, I agree with that.
You got to put something back in the pot.
But we still need the answer resolved to the other question. Whether we want them to be involved with our barbecue next year.
Well,
we can't put it to a vote. We don't have a quorum.
What I like about that, to me, I like it that way because it gives us a chance to get away from being tied up with all of the serving, and get a chance to mingle with the people and see the aircraft. Now, I stayed in here and made sure that people had plates and spoons and all that other stuff. And so I was in here basically all the time, the whole time through, which I kind of wanted to get out there and mingle with the aircraft and the people. And that's one thing that's good about having a self-serve type thing. And we're not involved with that. We're not.
My wife was in the kitchen too. That whole fly-in, she was helping serve and keep the beans heated up and everything in there. And
yeah, yes, she was. Your daughter too, I think.
There were things that people could do. If anybody, I don't know why anybody would feel like there wasn't something that your wife could have gone in the kitchen. I'm sure there was something to do.
Well, we were told that it was going to be self-serve, and that Shirley was great to work with.
There were still things that needed to be heated up and dishes to wash.
I'll tell you something else that this chapter doesn't do, and it's going to get wiped up about.
They don't take much. I'm trying to get you stirred up.
No.
I know you don't give a damn how we did it up north, but whenever an airplane moved up there, we had somebody walking that airplane in and out to make damn sure they knew what they were doing. And this time here, you had, well, he worked his butt off, and Chuck was out there helping us. And you know the reason I didn't do anything, but that's beside the point. Someone should be watching these airplanes. If we ever get somebody hit, you got to watch out. We used to announce no smoking out there, and you see people smoking all over the place. And we better start looking out for liability because...
You know, Jim, I brought that up, that maybe we should organize. But the three meetings before that fly-in, we had no participation. I don't think there was quorum in one of them. We could not make decisions. We couldn't come together. I offered my services if you tell me what I could do. I grew up on a small airport. It was 1,100 feet. We had landing lights. We had everything... tie downs and fuel and whatnot, but we were private. We were open to the public, but we were private. I don't know how to talk on a radio. I don't know how to bring big birds into the landing area or to the park tie downs. Just show me the, I would help. But nobody wanted to take up and make a decision on who would do it. And I knew that I or somebody had to be there taking money, and that was my position.
Yeah, that's right.
I wish I could have been outside, because I didn't see the airplanes. I mean, I looked out, and there were 35 people in line. I swear to God, I fast counted them, and there was probably 40 people in line. And it was all I could do just to keep the money coming in.
I realize that. There are always a few that do things, and there are always a bunch that don't do a damn thing. And
this
is the first
true.
Time I have ever come here and just nothing.
And I'm not saying it's you because you've done a lot in the past. Yes.
Well, you're not to do anything.
Well, he asked me to do radio, and I wouldn't do it because you weren't here. Last year, some big mouth member that never shows up came in here and complained about the way the radio was working. Number one, you cannot use that radio and give anyone directions on what they have to do. You can only make suggestions. And he told me that I had it all screwed up and they had to make three passes to get in. That's too bad. I can't control that. Yeah. Anyhow, I said, when he got here, I was going to tell him, you got the big mouth, you go out and do it better than I did. I've done it for years. So anyhow, that's water over his hands. But we have to get out there and make sure that you see young kids run right out in front of an airplane.
Yeah.
They don't see that propeller turn.
I agree.
And we got to be...
I agree.
You know, that was especially bad this time too, because we had more airplanes this time than any time since I've been here.
Okay. We had years ago.
We had a lot of airplanes this time.
I counted 25.
Today? I mean, this last one.
Yeah, right.
There was 37 at one time out there, but I think there was 43 or more actually showed up.
That's counting airplanes or flights also.
Well, I'm sorry. If it flies, it's an airplane.
Yeah.
No, that's count. That was counting everything.
Yeah. There was probably over 40.
Yeah.
We
got pictures. I'm sure there's.
Mine was off the ground. It actually was an airplane. It flew in. One end of it.
We're going to put it on the website. We haven't done it yet, but he's got pictures of 45.
Yeah.
And there was at least two or three that didn't even come down the end of the runway. They stayed on the other end, and they I don't know why. But they didn't come back. They didn't come down here.
Well,
but we did have what I think also remembers too. We did have that many airplanes.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. Since I've been here, I was saying since I've been here, which I'm a youngin, so I don't know all the stuff.
Well, we said once before,
folks. I'll tell you what. There's a lot of things we're gonna have to cover, like no smoking signs, which we should have already hung out there, especially in the spring, when the grass is still brown, people smoking. Smoke's not allowed anywhere around here, period. There's several things we're going to have to cover, but as far as the fly-in, let's keep it the way it is, and it's a boat out there, and let's don't bring it up with John and...
Gene.
Let's keep it the way it is, and go with that for a while. Is that agreeable with everybody?
It's agreeable to me.
Yeah.
Is that agreeable? Okay, we'll go with that. And there's conspiracy. Is there anything else that y'all want to talk about? Or can we break for lunch? Can we have
sounds good.
Yeah, before you go for lunch, a little story I want to tell you about a real dummy. I sold a little car to a guy in Florida over eBay. Planted out of here, we go. He came up to get it, you see, and my aunt was there, picked him up at the airport in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, brought him over, and he got out of the car, and I was waiting on the Canadian side, and came up. He says, I guess your name's Austin, is it? I said, yeah, hi, how are you? Something I want to ask you, though, is that, have you ever driven a car with a stick shift in it? Oh, yeah. Well, are you familiar with the steering on a towed car? Yeah, I am. Well, I said, yes, you should do all right then. Make sure the thing is out of gear before you tow it. Yeah, okay. So time went on, we started talking about this and that, and I said, incidentally, what was your occupation? Is this General Motors engineer? Number one dummy.
All right, gentlemen. Is that it?
That's it.